sitting there now, and I went down the street to visit an old, he wasn't actually a friend of mine, but my brother, William, went around with one of Glenn, I think it was Glenn Tibbs, I'm not sure. So I went there. We were just married, you understand. We didn't have any place to stay. He says, well, stay here all night. So we stayed there, and we went over a few blocks away and got an apartment then. Mm. Got an apartment.
Was that on?
That was in, after we got married, when did we get married? When did we get married? 1930.
August.
We got married, and we got an apartment there. We stayed there a few years. No, not a few years, a few months.
Was that Ramon, or?
It was over on the next street over from Heliotrope Drive. It's just an apartment. Dottie and I lived together. Okay. And then, my poor dad, if it wasn't for your mom, she was a wonderful woman. I'll tell you, Jean, Nancy, she was wonderful. She saw that Dad didn't have any money, didn't have a place to live. She said, had him come to live with us. So we went got a place where we're close to Westlake Park. And so we got an apartment and an extra bedroom, and he went to Westlake Park and played with the boys down there. And one of the boys was Mr. Ralph, that owns Ralph's grocery store.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
You know?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he played cards with him. And we finally decided, well, maybe we better, let's get a house instead of apartment. Let's get a house to live in. So approximately, I think it was 1932 or 3, we looked around and we went out to Eagle Rock. I don't know how we happened to get to Eagle Rock. We looked on August Drive, we went to 4940 August Drive, and we rented a house, furnished house, for $30 a month.
Hard to believe.
So, we lived there. Dad lived with us. He went over to the park to play cards. So we want to get a little...
Did he ever work or anything at that time?
Oh, he worked in the 20s, and I'd give him money once in a while. I got some pictures I'll show him. He worked in Culver City for a while. And poor Dad, I'm sorry to say this, but poor Dad was not aggressive. I mean, he was just an office worker. He never had a big education. Neither have I, as far as that's concerned. But I've been lucky.
Well, you did.
I've been lucky in saving my money, investing it proper and good investments. I tell you, I haven't made all my money just by working. I've invested my money and been lucky, so far, etc. Well, look,
you were smart about it.
Well,
whereas he didn't do.
Well, he didn't do. He was always taking chances. So then,
wasn't he always saying, "When my ship comes in"?
Oh yes. Oh, yeah, and he said, well, buy a farm and retire. Buy a farm and retire. I never could figure that out. How can you retire on a farm?
It's a lot of hard work.
I guess that's before we ever left Indiana. Yeah.
But he wasn't very realistic. No. And he sort of seemed to me as a young person, though.
Now, you knew Granny.
How
old were you when you last saw him?
Eight. When he was eight.
When I was eight,
he died.
Well,
and you, that.
Well, your team should remember a little bit more about him than you.
But I remember him as being kind of a dreamer, and he would wish for things that wouldn't.
Didn't he take you? Weren't you the ones that? Didn't he take you in the buggy out in front on Oak Grove Drive?
Well, you see, on Oak Grove Drive, I was 2 and 3. I remember being on Oak Grove Drive.
Didn't he take you in the baby buggy, or was that Gene?
I don't remember that. It could have been both of us. We were both.
I have some pictures. I want to show you about that.
Yeah. I remember him on Oak Grove Drive, even though I was very young.
Very young.
But
in those younger days, I know the impressions you would get. I can understand that. You were just 8 when he passed away. Huh?
Yeah, but I remember him as being kind of a dreamer and wishing for things. He was unrealistic.
I don't know, really. Yeah. I really don't know. But he'd come up to the office to me and ask me for $5 once in a while. Well, before the Sunkist building was built, you see. And I'd give him money. He didn't have any money, I'm sorry to say. But the problem was that I didn't have a very good home life when I was young. Mm-hmm. That was a problem. There was no, some would say there was no love. Mm. Now, looking at TV today and the radio, what I hear a lot about love and what goes with it. And I didn't have, I don't think I had that. Uh-huh. Really, I don't think I had that.
That was a long time ago, and they maybe didn't express it like they do now.
Well, that's true. See, my mom died when I was 20.
Yeah, and they were working people too, kind of struggling.
My mother never worked. I mean, after she was married.
Wasn't she a nurse?
Well, not after she was married.
I see. They didn't show a lot of affection.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
You see, my dad was kind of a mama's boy too, because he was sick when he was young and lived out, and he sat in front of, I can remember him telling me this, that's all I can remember. He sat out in front of the, his dad had that, he was a pharmacist. You knew that, my grandfather, his dad was a pharmacist in Louisville. In a drugstore.
Wasn't Tapple's drugstore?
Tapple's drug, yeah. Tapple and Son. You saw the picture?
Yeah.
Tapple and Son. It's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he sat out in the front of the store and had a sickly life. Well, now, I don't know when he went to the hospital for some reason. That's how Daddy met him. I don't know the circumstances around that. But I know this, that the Tapple family was very affluent financially. You know, but my dad wasn't.
Because he just sort of sat out in front of the
Well, and didn't ever work there. He never had a job much more after he was 30 or something. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You see?
Sort of just...
Well, he was sickly.
Uh-huh.
But I remember going over to him in his office where he worked, and I played around on the typewriter, and I kind of got interested on the typewriter. Maybe that's... And that typewriter is what got me my job that I had for the rest of my life.
That was unusual at the time to be able to type, wasn't it?
I guess. Stop it.
But you had a skill in typing that was
a little
unusual.
Well, I knew about typing, but I can recall when I was in, before we ever left New Albany, I went to a kind of a salesmanship class. So it was put on it. I don't know all the deal, but I especially remember about talking about National Cash Register, how they sold cash registers to people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those days, they had the cash in a drawer, you pull it out and count the money, and they never rung it up, you know.
Yeah.
So then the day was to come to sell cash registers, to punch it in and sell the machine.
Keep track of it in the machine.
Keep track of it and draw out the money.
Yeah.
That was all new at that time. This was in the 1918 and so on, 1919.
Yeah.
Cash register. So I took a little course in salesmanship. And they brought up about the National Cash Register Company,
mm-hmm.
how they used to try to sell it. But now, look what has transformed today from the old National Cash Register stuff.
Can you tell us anything about the Depression?
Well, you know, I had met this fellow, Tebb, that I told you, on Heliotrope Drive, but he was older than I was, but he worked for E.F. Hutton and Company. And since E.F. Hutton had an office of just about half a block from where I worked, I used to go and see him all the time, and I'd see these things on the board, and he was a board marker then, where he used chalk. The tape would come across, you have to look at it.
Uh-huh.
And you put the quotations down by telegraph. No, that was before the tape. It was by telegraph.
Uh-huh.
And he put the quotations down. He understood the Morse code, so he'd write it down on a board.
So he interpreted the Morse
and wrote the things down on the board.
In chalk. Then erased it as it changed.
As it changed, he erased it. Then later came the tape, visual tape,
mm-hmm.
and then they looked at that and wrote it down.
I see.
Now, since I knew him, I naturally was wondering, how could I make some money?
Uh-huh.
How could I make some money? So I threw a few nickels and dimes in the so-called stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? I bought some stocks and I made some money and I lost some. But I made some, but before I lost it all, I said, I'm going to quit now. And with the rest of the money, this was in 1929 now, naturally when the stock market was crashing, I took a trip. I took a trip on Los Angeles steamship coming to Alaska. And I went up, and I went from Los Angeles on this boat, the Dorothy Alexander. It went all the way up, stopped San Francisco, stopped at Seattle, went all the way up and stopped at Ketchikan, Juneau, Sitka, and Skagway, and we took a little train up to Lake Bennett and come back through the inside passageway to Seattle, and that's where the boat stopped because they were going to make the round trip back up and back. So then I got on the HF Alexander to come back to San Francisco, and Los Angeles was plied between Los Angeles and Seattle. HF Alexander was the big boat in those days, and it went from LA to San Francisco. So I did that. That's before I got married, see?
Oh, I see.
I was going to spend some of my money before I lost it all.
Yeah.
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 So that was 29. In 1929. Yeah.
When the stock market was crashing.
It was going, kept on going down. Now, love is blind, you know.
Yeah.
So Di asked me to get, I'll take you up on getting married.
Yeah.
So, what could I say? I would never got to say no. So, what happened was, I got married practically in the depths of the Depression in 1930. Yeah. August 11th, yeah. 1930. And so I went through that, and she said, "Well, I'll work," but she couldn't get a job. But she didn't find it. She finally got a job. We through the church. There was a in Lockheed. Now here's one reason.
That was before.
Here's one reason. See, we got married in
1930,
and you girls came along in 35 and 37, and she couldn't start to work because she wanted to keep house. She was really. What they should be more of it today of take care of the home. Mm. They don't have too much of that today. But she was taking care of the home. Okay. So she couldn't go to work as long as you and Jean were there in baby's life.
But that was 35.
35 and 37. Okay.
Before.
So she couldn't go to work. Well, she didn't go. She tried. There was no work before
between
that.
Between 30 and 35, and
there was no work to be had.
Wasn't she an extra in the movies? I remember.
We did visit some woman that was in the movies. This is before we got married. She told something about that. Not too much. Didn't amount to anything. No.
But she did some extra.
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
Not sure about it, but I don't think so. Madame St. Pierre. That was the name of the woman that she met in this dancing deal. We went out to see her. I never forget. Ain't that funny how I remember those names. So, but anyhow.
She at work? Or?
She tried to get work. I don't know if she did. I don't think she worked in the movies.
It seemed to me that she did.
It might have. I can't remember about that.
Parts.
Might have had some smart parts in some plays, maybe. Not in the movies, maybe.
Uh-huh.
But then. Then when you were growing up...
Well, wait a minute. Let's move back.
Go ahead.
Okay, we were back on Argus Drive, and then after Argus Drive, we moved to
Oak Grove
Drive, where Jean was born in...
And you were
in
born.
37.
35.
I mean, 35, and I was born in 37.
So, yeah. And your grandpa and your granny was there to take care of you guys when you were babies and took her out in a baby buggy and walked her up and down the street. I have movies of that.
Yeah. But Mother didn't work then.
No.
Okay.
She did, during the first days of that, she did a lot of volunteer work for the war effort. When it started to get into the war effort, you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, she set up a program in the war, for the war, and you know those, don't you remember what they did?
Well, I was only not born yet.
They had centers where they
USO?
For taking care of people in case of an air raid or something.
Oh.
And all that kind of stuff. I was an air raid warden during the war.
Okay, but that's 42 now.
That was, 41.
41?
Yeah. You know, war started in 41.
Okay.
See, December 7th, you know.
Yeah, but you had moved from
Oak Grove Drive.
Oak Grove
and
Drive.
Your mom, now listen, listen to more to your mom, I'd been well off more today. She wanted to buy property and move from here to there. But finally, we decided, we bought a lot, up on Ontario Way for $1,000 that a guy had paid $2,300 for. He sold to us for $1,000. He bought this in the 20s, see? And the prices went down. You get the point?
Yeah.
And I bought and probably late 29. See?
Uh-huh. Wow, he lost $1,200.
He probably did.
Yeah.
And so then we had Bill Corlett that I met in a boarding house.
Yeah.
He built a house for us, for $5,000 on that lot.
That was 5022.
That 5020 on Tioro Way.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, remember now, the war is going on. Now, this is 1940.
Okay, but let me back up before you move into the 40s. Tell me about your pay during the war.
During the war, and that's the 40s.
No, I mean during the Depression. Oh, dear.
Oh,
during the Depression.
Yeah.
Because you took a cut in pay, right?
Oh, yeah. The Depression, they cut pay at 10, they cut everybody at 10%, under $200 a month. Cut everybody at 10, over 200.
Anybody who made
everybody over $200 a month, they cut 10% off.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come along a second time. They cut 10% on everybody. Now instead of cutting me from 170, I was making 175 on the second cut. So instead of cutting me 10%, they only cut me $10, that made me 165.
So everybody accepted a cut in pay just because they would rather work.
The Depression.
Yeah, they would rather work.
Well,
than
not
lose
rather,
job.
But they had to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
But some of the people
couldn't
in the telephone company, the fellow lives up here, and I'm going to see. I hope to go to see when I'm down here to see you now. His name is Rubley. He lives in Redondo Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I generally see him every time. He was working for the telephone company a little before me, and he visited. He worked and lived in the boarding house there. Oh, we were still good fans, and we talked to each other all the time, phone and Christmas cards. Shall I tell you about then? No, go ahead.
Sure.
When?
Go ahead.
From when now?
Well, I just was talking about the Depression and the cut in pay and everything.
Yeah, All right.
And
then we got married.
He had a cut in pay too. Really?
Who's he? Oh, yeah. They cut him down to maybe. Maybe only work 4 days a week or something.
Mm-hmm.
See, or less than that, and alternate people to work, but he never lost his job. But he was making more than I was at that. He was making $200 a month. That was a lot of money at those times.
But one thing about it, Sunkist never fired you.
Never fired me.
And so you felt real obligated to the company.
Well, yeah. In those days, I never felt that way. I felt very fortunate to work.
Uh-huh.
You get the point?
Just to have a job.
Just to have a job and be married, too, in 1930.
Yeah.
You know, love is blind, so... So then, Daddy and I took trips. We went over to Arizona in 1934. I recall going to Arizona. We camped on the ground, and I had a portable cot that we stretched out. I don't remember, never forget. I camped out there in Arizona, up in a high plateau, cows around there and everything. We didn't bother us.
Was that the time she had sunstroke on the desert?
Oh, that was before that.
Oh.
We went up to... We went and finally round up about, do you remember Jean Thornburg?
Yeah.
Poor gal, she was a nice girl. She was Daddy's friend in Occidental.
Yeah.
And we visited her. She was up at Lake Tahoe, I think. And we camped out up there.
Yeah.
And did all that. That was too bad about that gal.
Yeah.
She married a gal and he committed suicide in Santa Barbara.
Well, you were. When was it the time that mom had sunstroke on the desert. You were traveling in
the
car.
Oh, we were traveling around that.
Wasn't
that
it in
Chandler?
A Chevy?
That Chandler.
Oh,
no, that's Chandler.
Okay.
Yeah, and we went around Tahoe that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she got, and then we come back and she got sick and I didn't know what to do. She had a doctor. It was just sunstroke is what it was.
Yeah.
And she never really, physically, so I don't believe she ever did get over it entirely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're moving from Oak Grove up to Onteora Way, and you were building a new house for $5,000, and Corlett was building the house. And I was three. So, that was 1940.
Yeah.
I remember moving into the new house.
And then all of a sudden, one day we're building a wall back there, and the Gartons up lived next door to us. You remember old Grandma
yeah.
Garton. He come down and said, did you hear the news? And they said, Japan has bombed Pearl Harbor, December
7th. December 7th, 1941. Was it
what?
Okay.
So, through the church and everything, Daddy, your mom, got a job out at Lockheed. It was in another company. I can't think of the name of it. Gee, I should know that for
the company
for records.
Lockheed?
Yeah, they combined with Lockheed. I met a guy in where I live now that they knew about that. So she worked there. She got a job in Lockheed for 50 or 60 cents an hour. That was fantastic. She had never worked too much. She had never had a permanent job. She says to me, she says, if I'm going to get these kids through college, I'm going to have to start to work.
That was 41?
That was in 1941. 1942, she had to get her mother down to come down to go on to onto her way to stay with you guys while she went to work. And she took a job on the graveyard shift. That's the night, isn't it? That's a,
yeah.
That's
that was
the
from
night
11 from, to 5 a.m.
Yeah. She took a job then. 11
so, at night to 5 a.m.
So she could come home and see you off to school.
I remember it.
She took a job then, and I would walk down onto your word, Sierra, and I'd meet her off of her ride coming up to home.
Colorado Boulevard.
Yeah. I did that for several years. And she did that. Nancy, she did so you could go to college.
Fine.
She did. I wasn't making enough money.
Yeah.
And so, that went on for 17 years for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, more power to her because she started in the file department where they filed hoses and parts and things like that in bins.
It was some control, something.
Requisition.
And maintenance.
Well, she told me she filed
parts
and bins.
Oh, she did all that, yeah. But, you know, she got to be up in there, you know. And you know, once you got to start at 60 cents an hour, she knew what she went left when she went, how much she made when she left.
Mm-hmm.
She got out of Ireland. Got an hour, probably. But she equivalent of about 4.5 an hour.
Yeah. Well, she was the...
But it was all a lot of politics in there.
Yeah, I know.
And you remember Joanne, and you remember Norm Stratton.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to show you some of their pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, she worked for... You know the history of that. You went to Bass Lake, and I want to show you their pictures.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I remember her
Talk
telling...
About her. Talk about
I
her.
Can, yeah. I remember her telling me that... she started filing parts in bins.
Yes.
And she worked her way up from there to other jobs until finally she became the first woman in supervision.
It was inventory control.
Inventory control.
She would get orders for certain parts of the planes. They'd send them to the parts. They couldn't find them. She'd walk up ladders and she found them. That's
but
a fact.
They saw her worth and they put her in management.
They put her in management.
And then she was the working on the buyout section for the Electra airplane.
She was in management. You know what?
She was the first
this
woman
is the trouble
management.
About the, she was the beginning of the women's lib, shall we say. Is that it?
Yeah.
And you know what? Her boss, Norm Stratton, who I got a Christmas card from just the other day, was transferred to Marietta, Georgia.
Yep.
And Joanne, and you know, Norm divorced his wife, and Joanne divorced her husband, and they got married.
I know.
And they went to Georgia, Marietta, Georgia.
Yeah.
Well, then your poor daddy got demoted then.
Well, that
was the payoff.
Yeah, that was in 1956.
It was in the 50s. And I said, "Daddy, but forget it. This is making you a nervous wreck. Forget it. Quit." So she took some sick leave, about 5 or 6 months. Got lapped in that money. She quit. And then later, as you know, we went to Oregon, and she did what she wanted to do, which I gave her. Said, "I'll do what anything you want to do. I'll go along with it if you want to. Anything you want to do, we'll compromise on. I'd like a trailer and this and that. You know, we tried these things out." And but she, I backed her up on her golf, as you know.
Yeah. Well, after, let's see, from the 40s, when Gene and I were growing up, she worked at Lockheed, and
yes,
she started getting ahead in her profession.
Yes.
And becoming kind of a pioneer as a woman at Lockheed, which is very unusual at the time.
For a woman, yes.
Yeah, very unusual. And then we, as children, felt because we had a working mother, that was kind of a different situation as we were growing up. So Gene and I felt, I think a little different than most children because she was working, but we did go to college. And
I'm anxious to hear your side of it.
Yeah,
yeah, this is great.
We fulfilled her the promise to her that we'd made
to go to college.
To go to college and to graduate from school, because that was the
That was the object of her working.
She had for us, and the reason that she went to work, and so we fulfilled that for her, and I think she was proud.
She was. So she quit.
And so after we were in school, in college at the time when Jean had graduated and I was fulfilling my last year or so, because of the change of management at Lockheed, she was demoted because she was the only woman, and they put a man in her place to take over her position of leadership, and she had to train this man in her own position, and that was really a difficult thing.
It was. You know, that's the trouble, the women's lib. See, that, since then, you know, the women's lib has come into being, and women have more rights today.
Well, that was back in 50.
That was
56. 55 and 56 is when the...
Was that?
Yeah.
See, the war ended. You know, your grandpa, my dad, died when the war ended in August 16 or 1945. And we were in Yosemite. You remember that? No. We were in Yosemite.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
Listen. No. That was
when her
brother
died. Have we